Welcome back to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I explore the leading edge of a spiritual renaissance that's happening in this country and around the world. And tonight, I'm talking to someone who's very much been a part of this new wave of consciousness. He's Dan Millman, and many people might remember The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, which was a real breakthrough document of one person's transformation. Thanks, Dan, for being here.
Well, it's nice to be here with you, Alan.
And Dan has a new book out called The Four Purposes of Life, and he'll be in Long Island and in New York City. Is there a website for your for those appearances?
Yes, I'll be mentioning the website again in another context, but the best place to go is Peaceful Warrior. That's P-E-A-C-E-F-U Warrior, warrior.com. That's my website, and you can just click on event page, and it gives all my upcoming events, including Long Island and New York City, coming up in about a week.
Great. Yeah. No, I mean, the Peaceful Warrior books, well, it was your story, basically, and I mean, for people who don't, I mean, let's see, there was a great movie made of it, which I thought was one of the better spiritually based films I've seen. What did you think of the movie?
Well, I thought it was, they captured some very good moments, some of the spirit and content of the book. Mm-hmm. Just to provide a context, for those who know me, it's probably not necessary, but for those listeners who aren't familiar with my work, I was a former world champion gymnast and a coach at Stanford University in California, and then I was a college professor for a while. And I was focused in my early years on creating talent for sports, how to do that, how to learn faster and easier and rise to higher levels. But my interest shifted over time, like many of our interests shift, into a bigger picture, and I started looking for how we can create more talent, not just for sports, but for life, for finances, for relationships, raising kids, making decisions, facing our fears, all the major events of everyday life. So that search sent me around the world, studying with various mentors, including the old man I called Socrates in my first book and in the movie played by Nick Nolte. And finally, it brought up, well, I've written 15 books over the last 30 years, and the latest one, the culmination, in a sense, it's the first time I put the pieces of the puzzle together in The Four Purposes of Life.
Mm. Right, and we'll go into that, but I'm curious about your personal journey, in a sense. So you went from someone seeking to now someone who's providing these answers, but what's been your inner personal development? I mean, you know, there's been a lot of struggle, like everyone, but I guess what I'm asking is, how have you changed from who you were then to who you are now?
You know, that's an interesting question, Alan. Anybody who's asked that has to kind of search the memory banks and look at their sense of themselves when they were younger. Obviously, all of us have considerably evolved since we were teenagers, mm-hmm. I would hope. We can look back on how we handle life differently now than when we did when we were a child or a teenager. Mm-hmm. So we all evolve over time. Daily life is the perfect school for that. That's actually has to do with the first purpose in the new book. Mm-hmm. So in my own, I look back with chagrin at times over some of the ways that I behaved and viewed the world. And what I teach really did come out of my own search and sense of disillusion. Whatever I did, I realized that wasn't it. That wasn't really going to lead to any kind of fulfillment. There seemed to be a bigger picture. In fact, I asked the question a lot, what is my purpose? What am I here for? And I kept on that question. Even though I was successful in many ways, you know, I was an athlete and I was a good student and looked successful by many measures, still, I went on a tremendous, intensive self-improvement program, studying speed reading and memory courses and philosophy and physical training. And then one day I realized, Alan, that no matter how much I improved myself, only one person benefited. But if I could influence the lives of other people in a positive way, that made my own life more meaningful. And that's what led to my calling to teach and to share what I'd learned. And I think that opened me up to meeting some unusual teachers and putting together and finding ways to express the perennial wisdom that's been available to us all through many, many classic books over the centuries, but put it together in a way that makes a lot of sense to modern men and women.
Well, do you think a person's purpose can change over the course of their life, or do they find it, and they're set?
Well, that's a good question. It's like asking, you know, do we have one soulmate, or can we build a life with different people? The purposes that I outline in the four purposes of life, they don't change. And I might as well relate these four purposes so at least your listeners get an overview of what I'm talking about. The first purpose I would just list as learning life's lessons, based on the idea that Earth is a perfect school and daily life is our classroom. And, you know, we've all noticed lessons repeat themselves until we learn them. And if we don't learn the easy ones, they get more dramatic. So we will learn over time. Daily life is guaranteed to teach us everything we need to learn over time. But a good book or a training session can perhaps shine a light where there was darkness and help us to learn more gracefully the lessons of everyday life. So that's the first purpose. The second has to do with career and calling. That's what we normally think of as, oh, what is my purpose here? We can go into that in more depth a little bit later. The third purpose has to do with what I call our life path, or our hidden calling. Backstage in the theater of life, beneath the surface, often unclear to us for many people their whole lives. This life path describes with uncanny accuracy, and the method I present in the book, it describes the drives we have as individuals, different from people we know or others in our family, the unique gifts we have, the hurdles we're here to overcome. So these things that work out on a deeper level through our relationships and challenges in various aspects of life. And so that's what I call the life path. That's the third purpose. So again, to put a context for people just listening, the first purpose is about learning life's lessons, and I go more into depth, of course, including the 12 required courses we're all here to take in order to graduate. The second purpose has to do with our career and calling, how to find that. The third is our hidden calling or life path. And the fourth purpose may be the most important one of all, but just for fun, let's hold off on that just for a few minutes.
Okay, because my ultimate question is, not so what, but where is it all going? Where is it all going? What's the ultimate destination or reason for these purposes? What's it get us?
I think so what is a perfectly good question to ask, Alan. Let me say first why it's four purposes. Why not three? Why not seven? Why not nine?
Right.
Many people, you know, say whatever the question, love is the answer, that love is the ultimate purpose. We're here to learn. We humans are here to learn to love. And, you know, it would be hard to argue against that. That's a wonderful purpose. Others might say, oh, no, our purpose is spiritual enlightenment or a surrender to God, depending on one's belief system. Someone else might say, oh, no, that's all concepts. Our real purpose as human beings, biological purpose, is bonding with the mate and raising, you know, bearing and raising children. And one couldn't argue with that. And some people may say there's as many purposes as there are people, all good points. But yet, just as we divide the points on a compass into four directions and the seasons, the days of the year into four seasons, by relating our life and looking through this lens of four purposes, it helps us make sense, order, and structure in the totality of our experience. So there are very practical outcomes here. It's not just some philosophy. You understand, as an athlete and a coach, I go for practical outcomes, not just abstract philosophy. It's like, what can I do with this? That's always been a question I've had. And so we can even get into the first purpose and find out, well, what's practical about knowing that life is a school, for example?
Yeah, well, that's a good place to start, because people say we're here to love, like you said, and we're here to to know ourselves. But before, I mean, this is just my ideas. When before you, we incarnate, I think we are love. I think we are in touch with that divine spark. So I want to know the purpose of incarnational experience and then take off from there, if that makes sense to you. Does it?
Yes. By the purpose of incarnational experience, of course, we language things differently, but yeah. I understand what you're saying.
Right.
You're saying, why are we here?
Exactly.
Why are we incarnated? Now, understand this. I mean, I like to be very straight with people. Mm-hmm. We can, any question that starts with the word why, we can make up an answer, because that's what people do. We don't ultimately know anything, not for certain. We don't know why. I could give a very fancy why. I could make up, we're the human being or its souls in the universe, we're all coming together and merging to one. I mean, I could give many cosmological reasons. But what I'm suggesting is, look, it's observable. We are here. We humans are on planet Earth. So what the purpose of incarnation is, that broader sense, maybe there's not one purpose. Maybe for human life, there are four.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm suggesting but you know, the fact is we incarnated. Why? I don't know. But we incarnated. And while we're here, while we're spending this time on Earth, about 30,000 days each, that's what we have, each individual on this planet, an average of about 30,000 days, what are we going to do with it? How will we spend our life? That's one of the essays I cover in the book, one of the sections. And I am suggesting, let's get back to it. We are here to learn. This is a school for souls. It may not be a graduate school. Sometimes it may seem like reform school, but it is a school for souls. And why is that important? Well, if we understand, if we finally accept as individuals that our primary reason here is to learn, not to win, not to achieve, not to succeed, not to find love, all those things are wonderful. But if our primary purpose here is learning, that means that a really bad day at work or in a relationship or at school or in a sport or any endeavor can be a profoundly good day or moment in terms of learning, that we never fail as long as we learn from it, that we've accomplished something every day if we learn something about ourselves and our life. So that is just the first purpose. And there are school rules. We call them universal laws. I go into that in the first section in the four purposes. And again, if someone says, well, fine, Dan, okay, I accept that. You know, I'm not slapping my forehead going, who knew? We've all heard we're here to learn. But what classes do we have to take? Well, I go into the 12 essential required courses. Every one of us is already enrolled in, but most of us don't realize it. Once you understand you're in school and you know what the courses are, it really helps to know the curriculum. So I go into that. For example, you know, your listeners may be going, well, fine, that's a nice teaser, Dan, but what are these? Well, without going into all 12, I don't think our time will allow it. Let me just say the first of the required courses is about discovering our worth. Now, that is not the same as self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Self-esteem is feeling good about ourselves, feeling confident. Self-worth answers a deeper question. How good am I? How much do I deserve? Do I have an innate human worth? How can I open up to abundance? Because Ramakrishna, you know, the Indian saint, said an ocean of bliss can rain down from the heavens, but if we're only holding up a thimble, that's all we're going to get.
Right.
So this understanding this question of worth helps us overcome self-sabotage, which is a major element in human life. We don't do it consciously, but it helps us to open up to all the other courses that follow. So that's just the first of these 12 arenas that I touch upon in this small book. You notice it's like 150 pages. It's like Hermione, you know, in Harry Potter, Hermione's bag. It's a small bag, but you can reach into it, pull out tents and backpacks and all sorts of things, this magical bag. So in this little book, just in the first section, all that is covered.
Yeah, I really appreciate the way you wrote it and the way how easy it is to read and access. You know, I've studied a lot of spiritual teachings, and what I get, and I don't know if you agree, but the ultimate purpose seems to be to come into our divine essence, like your teacher Socrates, or like people like Buddha have achieved, or people like Jesus even. I mean, it seems like that all this other, these other career and internal purposes bring us to that higher purpose. Would you agree with that?
I would completely agree, Alan. Mm-hmm. However, saying we're here to come into our divine essence, it's like, what is your, you know, what's a listener going to do with that? Oh, that's nice to know, but what do I do now? Mm-hmm. Whereas, in other words, I believe spiritual life begins on the ground, not up in the air. We're here to have our head in the clouds, but feet on the ground. Right. It's like gives us a launching pad. So you may notice that in the epilogue of the book, I gradually lead people like a balloon rising into the sky. I start with learning life's lessons right down here on Earth. Then we get into, again, the career and calling. It is an important purpose, functioning here in everyday life while we're merging with our divine essence. You know, Ram Dass once said, we can be lost in cosmic bliss but still be responsible for remembering our postal code.
Right. He also said you might think you're in nirvana on top of the mountain but spend a week with your parents.
Exactly, precisely. So people have a lot of ideas about spirituality, but we, you know, I ask people when they say they bring all these metaphysical ideas to me, and I go, "That's very interesting. How's your relationship doing?"
Right.
So this, we can't avoid the practical realities of everyday life. But as we move through these four purposes, the epilogue of the book finally addresses. And their people are really prepared at that point to get it, our spiritual purpose. And that is what the epilogue to the four purposes covers, what you're referring to as our spiritual purpose. And I express it in a way I don't think has ever been expressed before by any teacher, East or West.
Well, what do you feel is the original way? Because I've read that, I'm reading that, and what do you think the original way you expressed it is? How is it different?
We all hear ideas like there are no accidents. Mm-hmm. We all hear ideas about there is no death. You know, it's all Maya, it's illusion. We hear ideas like we are all one. They're beautiful ideas. These are all transcendental ideas. They're true at the transcendental level, not at the conventional one.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the original ways I express this is to go into, in a little bit of depth in a very short time, the difference between conventional and transcendental truths and how to build a bridge between those two arenas of life, which is one of the primary spiritual disciplines we can possibly develop. So we function here on Earth in the conventional world where there are accidents, where we can spill things because we weren't paying attention or have fender benders. That's part of life. Where when someone dies, we can grieve them naturally because we won't see them again in physical form, where we are separate individuated beings responsible for our behavior, and yet we can also bridge over to that level of higher truth, where there is no death, who we truly are, never born, never dies, consciousness or awareness. We can bridge into that area where, of course, we're all one. We couldn't be separate. And we can bridge to that area where there are no accidents, only lessons. So that's, I hope that responds to your question.
No, I get that. I think that's, I think learning life's lessons as you begin is a really important piece of our spiritual awareness, because we are here to live life. We're not here to get, we're not here to avoid it. We're not here to, we went to incarnated in the first place if we weren't here to learn the lessons of life, which means love and, family and relationships. All that is about being here. It's not about retreating from the world. So your book is really a practical guide for living in the world with a greater awareness.
And believe me, I don't ignore, our primacy here is, of course, to understand our spiritual destiny and to appreciate the bigger picture of life.
Mm.
But I don't present myself as a spiritual master sitting on a mountaintop. I help prepare people for real spiritual life. And if they're Buddhist, to how to be a better Buddhist. If they're a Jew, how to be a better Jew. How to be a kinder person and more aware and loving and free and liberate our attention. That's the point. And this can be done in practical ways, starting at the level of the ground. And then when we're ready, when we're prepared, we rise to those higher levels.
Right, I appreciate that. And you mentioned the graduate course after. But I would think something like once you learn all that, your purpose, the graduate course, not to like skip over that, but the graduate course would sort of be like a bodhisattva, where you come here, you come awakened, and then you're here to, you know, help awaken others. I would say that's sort of the ultimate purpose.
And I go into that as well. Some people might say the ultimate purpose is service, and I have a very strong emphasis on service, but not as something we should do, but as the actual secret, the doorway to joy. Because no matter how much we entertain ourselves, distract ourselves, pleasure ourselves, none of that leads to the kind of fulfillment that it does saying one kind word, uplifting someone's day, making a difference for another person. It's an entirely different quality of life. And I help people. I don't tell people wherever you are, you've got to be somewhere else. I help people appreciate where they are right now, whatever they're doing, for their job, for their career, to help them appreciate the service they do in the world, to help people understand that each of us can be a leader, whether we're in the top corner office or in the mailroom, we can show qualities of leadership for other people, mm-hmm. living by example. So I think that's where we begin, where we are, feet on the ground. In fact, at my website, peacefulwarrior.com, I have a mission statement right there, and in fact, I'm going to go to it right now. I'm just going to
peacefulwarrior.com.
Peacefulwarrior.com. It says, the purpose is evolution, the arena, daily life, the time, now, the method, action. It begins on the ground, it starts where you are, and it works at every level. And if someone holds their cursor over any one of those statements, I go into an explanation. There's a pop-up that explains it more deeply. But something else on the webpage there, not only is the picture and a link of my new book, but also anyone can click on Life Purpose. There's a Life Purpose link right under my event schedule. Mm. And if someone clicks on that, you could even try it. I don't know if you're online now, Alan.
Oh, I am online. I can try that.
Click on Life Purpose, and you're it'll show you the Life Purpose calculator. And if you put in your date of birth, it's very quick and easy to do.
Peacefulwarrior.com. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So now in a moment you'll be at the home page, and you may see a link there that says.
It's coming up. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I'm at the home page. Right.
You see where it says Life Purpose under the event schedule?
Wait, it says Home Event. Oh, Life Purpose. Yes. Click on that.
And once you do it, and you or any of your listeners can do this now or later on.
Oh, I see.
And you'll see a Life Purpose calculator. Put in your date of birth in that calculator.
Okay, I will. That looks
all right.
Fun.
Oh, it's more than fun.
Now
you'll see your birth number, and you're going to see about a paragraph that describes some core issues. This is the third purpose described in the four purposes of life. It's your life path or your hidden calling beneath the theater of life.
I'm a 26 over 8.
Oh, 26-8. That's interesting. It's the same life path that I am.
Oh.
There are 43 different life paths for people born from the 1900 to the present date, and you and I happen to share the same one.
Well, that's no coincidence. I guess we're on the same.
Well, there's no better or worse life path. Each of us has a different challenges, a different mountain or different path up the mountain.
Right.
We just happen to share the same one.
But tell me about this one, since you know it so well. Because
I know all of them so well, and believe me.
this might help me.
Okay, well, let me just say this. If I were doing it like a personal little reading for you, I would say, first of all, you may not fully realize, but compared to many other people, you have very high standards.
Yeah.
It's like I could say you have high standards, and you might be thinking, well, they could be higher.
Exactly, yes.
And you can do 26 things right, one little thing wrong, and what do you obsess on, right?
Right.
Oh, if I'd only done that. So you have very high standards, certain perfectionism there. And you also have a natural drive for recognition, as I do.
Right.
It's good to accept that instead of saying, oh, no, that's not spiritual. A drive for material success, but yet also an avoidance of it. It's like Joe Louis, the boxer, who said, you know, I don't really like money, but it calms my nerves.
Right.
It is an issue for anybody working that life path.
Right.
And of course, there are many different qualities on the different life paths. And in the four purposes of life, I only give a brief paragraph here that's accessible to anyone. But in the four purposes of life, I go into each of these digits, what they mean, each of the numbers. And believe me, I've worked with this for over about 20 years, 25 years. It is very accurate. It's not guesswork.
Did you develop this? Is this your system?
Well, let's put it this way. I met an unusual mentor some years ago, about 25 years ago, and he did a reading, and it seemed like he was the most psychic person I ever met, but he said, I'm not a psychic. I've been trained to know where to look. 6 months later, when I had the opportunity, he changed my life with that reading. My life snapped into focus, and he said, I'm going to be teaching where I look and how to do this. And you know, I knew about numerology and astrology and many of the, you know, oracular systems, but this was so accurate. When I had a chance to do for other people what he did for me, I jumped on it, and I've been working with it ever since. I've done readings for thousands of people, and finally I taught trainings and advanced training and how to do it, and then I wrote the book called The Life You Were Born to Live. You'll see it pictured there on this on the same page. And that book, over a million copies are out there. It's just word of mouth because it's so accurate. And in the four purposes of life, that becomes the third of the four purposes. And since we don't have a lot of time left, would you like me to mention that fourth purpose?
Absolutely. No, I mean, we have as long as you want because I enjoy talking to you. So whenever you need to stop, please mention the fourth purpose because it's important.
Well, I do that because it integrates the other three purposes, and it may be the most important one of all. Let me tell a quick story to kind of give a sense of what I mean by the fourth purpose before I mention what it is, which is a man came to me once for a consultation. Now, I don't advertise for it. I don't have that much time to work one-on-one with people, but when I do, I charge pretty good money for it, and he came to my house, and we sat down in my office, and he put his money on the desk, and then I said, okay, what would you like to accomplish? What are your goals? You know, what brought you here? We usually start there. And he said, oh, I have no purpose. And I said, well, surely you have some purpose. He said, no, I don't have any. I said, I'll tell you what. What if you knew what your purpose was? What might it be? You know, I tried everything, and he was stubborn. He just said, no, I have no purpose. So I said, well, you know, I really maybe can't be that useful to you then since you have no purpose. But, hey, it was nice meeting you. Thanks a lot for coming by, and please close the door on your way out. And he looked at me and said, wait a minute. I paid you some good money, Dan. He said, I have 90 minutes of your time. And I said, you know what? I think you've just found a purpose.
Yeah.
I said, and after our session is over, you're going to find another purpose, getting to your car and driving to wherever you're going. And when you reach your destination, another purpose will appear. So we came to understand that the most important purpose of all is the one that appears to us moment to moment.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because a lot of people would say that our purpose is just to be. And if we keep worrying about purpose, that's a kind of distant future thing that's not in the moment. So when we're in the moment, in a sense, there's no purpose.
Exactly. Well, you know, and it's a funny thing. This word being, I'm not sure what it means because while I'm sitting here, even in the moment, mm-hmm. my heart is beating, I'm breathing, I'm doing things. Now, I'm not consciously doing them. My heart will beat without my conscious intent, and I'll also breathe, but I'm sitting here. If I'm sitting completely still in meditation, I'm still doing something.
Well, you're also just a human being. If you were not to do anything, I mean, the personality, ego structure, and just be, then isn't that what Buddha said awakening is?
Well, you know, then we get lost in language.
Right.
You know, I don't do well with abstract concepts.
I know.
This idea of beingness, you know, I don't know what to do with that. I know what doing is. And if even in a moment when I'm sitting still, I'm doing something. I'm sitting still. If I'm doing nothing, I'm doing something. I'm deliberately not moving. So
doing things. I mean, I'm not really arguing with you. I'm just, like, putting out the perennial wisdom.
Yeah. I totally understand, but the perennial wisdom often is dictated by the recent teachers, and many of them, I've heard the terms, we should get what we want, we shouldn't focus on doing, we should focus on our being and manifest it that way. It sounds lovely. I don't really know how to do that.
So I think you actually do say that in the fourth purpose, which is attending to the rising moment. I think that's exactly what we're sort of talking about, right?
Well, it is our purpose in the moment. For example, what you pointed out, Alan, that we may not know our cosmic purpose, lifetimes from now. However, you and I very well know our purpose in this moment. We're speaking with one another.
Right.
It's very clear. So everyone knows his or her purpose in the present moment. Whatever they're doing, even just sitting, that is their purpose. So that brings us back to the moment of reality. We're no longer lost in abstract concepts of past and future imagination and memory. We're in the moment of sanity, the moment of reality right now. So, of course, in the four purposes of life, one of the purposes had to be focusing on this arising moment. And I cover that in a way I don't think it's been covered before, even by me. And, Ram Dass wrote Be Here Now, Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now. Many people have written about living in the present. We know it's a nice thing. I go into more details why that is, how to do it, and that's what I would say is the fourth purpose, which bridges us right into the epilogue of the book, which is our spiritual purpose.
Mm-hmm. No, I appreciate all that, and I know you have to go soon, but it's a nice summation, but the only thing that in a way doesn't fit for me is the third purpose with the number, because it seems like, it's a nice system, but it seems like that comes from outside of us. Maybe you can help me understand the integration of the birth date to discover the life path as an internal cause or something, where are we born in with certain predispositions? How do you explain those purposes in terms of like a predestination, I guess, is what I'm asking there.
Yeah, boy, very good question. That question of predestination, I'm going to address in a future book, probably the next one I write. That's going to be a major, major element of that book. But let's just say for now that when we're born, our parents give us a name, and God or Spirit gives us a frequency, a number or a frequency. And each of us has that. It's based on our moment of birth when we take our first breath. People don't have to believe that. I'm not here for people to trust me. I'm here to help people trust themselves. Nonetheless, it's not imposed from the outside. The last thing I would want to do is lay something on people and say, this is what you are. And I definitely don't recommend people telling children, oh, you're this birth number and this is your life path. Let them discover it for themselves. All this does is it's a lens to understand ourselves and other people with more compassion and to clarify, to bring into focus the drives we've had since birth, the issues we've been dealing with, so we can finally appreciate the gifts we have that we often don't even use, and the hurdles we're here to overcome. We've been stumbling over our whole life. It's simply a method of self-understanding, which is key, going back to the second purpose, to choosing wisely our occupation, our career, and finding our calling in life. So this is not an outside thing. And believe me, again, my second most popular book over the years has been The Life You Were Born to Live, which is the book that goes into great detail about these life paths, because people have found it very liberating. And the four purposes of life brings that in as the third purpose and presents it in a context rather than on its own, as its own system. Right. It presents it as one of the four primary areas we're all working on today. I believe, how important it is to be aware and conscious, and I believe that the book, The Four Purposes of Life, is going to help people find meaning and greater direction in this changing world.
Yeah, I totally agree. Thank you. And you feel the world is changing. Do you get 2012 as a date, or is that just sort of a fad kind of millenniumism?
Why don't we talk about it again in 2013, and we have some perspective.
Well, thank you, Dan. I think you have to go. You're coming east, and I've been talking with Dan Millman. The Four Purposes of Life is his latest book. Of course, he's the author of The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. He is going to be on Long Island in New York at the Marriott Residence Inn in Plainview at Sunday, May 1st, 8 p.m., and then in New York City at the Hilton Midtown East on May 2nd. You can check his website. Website is peacefulwarrior.com. Any final words that you would like to just sort of leave people with as a ultimate purpose besides buying the book?
Oh, of course, of course. Let me read the very, very end of the book. It's actually from a book I wrote called The Journeys of Socrates, but it was a perfect ending for the four purposes of life. It gives a flavor. It's from the journal of the old man I called Socrates. He said, "When I was young, I believed that life might unfold in an orderly way, according to my hopes and expectations. But now I understand that the way winds like a river, always changing, ever onward, following God's gravity toward the great sea of being. My journeys reveal that the way itself creates the warrior, that in the fullness of time, every path leads to peace and every choice to wisdom, and that life has always been and will always be arising in mystery."
Wow, that's beautiful. I should get The Journeys of Socrates. That's one of your books, huh?
It's in one of the other books. Yeah, each one has...
It's really beautiful, because I was reading along as you were reading there, and I really got what you were saying. Are these true sayings of your teacher? Did he say that?
No, this is something that I wrote, but it's part of the novel, and I thought it was an appropriate way to close in The Four Purposes of Life.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and actually, I'm gonna quote you when I pass it on to other people. So, thank you for taking the time to talk today.
It's been my pleasure, Alan.
Yeah, hopefully, I don't think I'll be in New York when you're here, but maybe I'll catch up with you somewhere.
Sounds great.
Okay, Dan, I'll be in touch. Thanks for
talking.
So I'm just, if you have to go, you can hang up. I'm just going to sign out.
Great.
And I'll talk to you soon.
Good journeys, Alan.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
Bye.
That was Dan Millman, who I've been looking forward to talking to for a long time. And that was his new book, The Four Purposes of Life. And I think I'll just read that closing passage again, just so I really get it. This is from his teacher, Socrates, or this is about sort of a reference to that, The Journey of Socrates. "When I was young, I believed that life might unfold in an orderly way, according to my hopes and expectations. But now I understand that the way, winds like a river, always changing, ever onward, following God's gravity towards the great sea of being. My journeys reveal that the way itself creates the warrior, that is in this fullness of time, every path leads to peace, and every choice to wisdom, and that life has always been and will always be arising in mystery." I think that's a good way to understand, in the sense that we are here to explore who we are, and whatever that purpose is what you feel in the moment, to explore that. Whatever enthusiasm you have to follow your, as the teacher Bashar says, follow your excitement, I think that's part of the purpose here, is follow what excites you. Follow that movement of curiosity and creativity that flows through you. So thank you for listening tonight. This is New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and you can also find me at newrealities.com. That is my website, newrealities.com, and I also have some very special features on newrealities.com. I have an amazing blog with my own blog, if you look under blogs, and also with a blog of another spiritual teacher, Paul Lowe, who pretty much writes daily about his experience of awakening. So it's newrealities.com under blog. And then I also just peruse the internet and look for interesting articles and interesting contributions, either on websites or on YouTube. And then also, of course, I post all my television shows that can be seen every Monday night on MNN.org, or if you're in Manhattan, you can check Monday at 9 p.m. at Channel 57, Time Warner Cable. And I post them on my website as well. And a bunch of new archives of things I find, like an old interview with Carlos Castaneda's on there, and Alan Watts, and a bunch of people I think are very important in contributing to this conscious movement. Also, coming up, I did an interview a couple of weeks back with a guy named Paul Selig, who's a channel, and he's coming back to the Meta Center in New York on May 19th. And I recommend seeing him. I support his work, and I think it's really a high vibrational message. So if you can make the Meta Center, just drop me an email at newrealities@earthlink.net. And I'll give you all the details of where and when that's happening. So thanks for tuning in again. I am going to leave you with this last, this song called In the Fire. I think that's a pretty good song to leave you with, or... maybe I'll leave you with one of my other songs, which is I like this song, Never Know, by my friend in Bali, Leanne Erickson, and she wrote this song called Never Know. And next week I think I'm going to have a substitute guest, Zachary Fader, because I'll be on a little trip overseas. So listen to Zachary for next week and maybe the next 2 weeks. And thank you for listening to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld. Please contact me if you have any questions. newrealities@earthlink.net. Thanks again. This is Wave Garden and Never Know. Recorded Leanne Erickson and Carlos Michael. Get some very sound. Okay, enjoy.